On this episode of the Generation X Files. Generation X. Generation X. Generation X. Get off my lawn. On this episode of the Generation X Files, Tatiana and I are going to teach each other. We're going to learn from each other. We're going to admit that we're wrong. We're going to help each other change our minds. No, not really. It's going to be more like, get off my lawn. This is the Generation X Files. I'm Dan America. With me is Tatiana.
Hi. Hi.
Today we're going to have a very special episode. We're going to play a little game based on a meme or meme or whatever, however the hell you say.
Meme.
Oh, yeah, that meme. Sure.
Changes.
Based on a little meme that I saw.
Meme. Meme is a Broadway play. It's meme. Meme.
A picture with words that I saw on the internet that apparently Tatiana hasn't seen, but the rest of the world has. It's the guy sitting in like a park, and he's got a table with a sign, and it has like a little statement, and then it says, change my mind.
Never heard of her.
So, of course you didn't. So, what we're going... Oh, you're too busy looking at pictures of cats.
Meow.
And posting pictures of your cats looking angry.
Yeah, and getting new guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss. I got a new one named Kiss.
Well, congratulations on your Kiss guinea pig. Anyway, so today we're going to play Change My Mind, or as I like to call it, Get Off My Lawn, because apparently that's my thing if you're from, if you're living in Spain.
Dan's or, world.
No, what, that guy does not live in my world.
I can't
or else
believe
he would understand the podcast.
I can't believe you're perseverating on that guy this long. You should thank that guy because he gave you a catchphrase.
Yeah, well.
Like, he deserves wherever you are. What was his name? Wyoming dude in Italy.
Oh, his name was like Bronco Bill or something. Maybe he was a serial killer.
Buffalo Bill.
That's why he has to live in Europe.
Probably.
Change my mind about
probably.
That Bronco Bob.
Maybe you
or...
shouldn't make fun of him so much.
Oh, what is he going to do? Show up here? I would love for him to show up here. He'd be a guest on the podcast.
We can do a serial killer special. True crime podcast.
Well, we should do that, but today it's change my mind. How this is going to work is I'm going to make a statement primarily about millennials. It's going to be a negative statement. And then Tatiana is going to try to change my mind about it. And then Tatiana is going to make a statement like I did, but about Generation X, or maybe something that I like about millennials. And then I'm going to have to change her mind about it. Okay, so do we understand the rules of the game?
We do. I wish we had buzzers or something.
Hmm?
I wish we had buzzers.
Like, well, we don't have buzzers. I got a bunch of sound effects over here, but you can't really reach them.
No, I know.
You have to wait until I'm finished making my statement before you can try to change my mind.
Okay. All right. That's going to be hard because I always cut you off.
Yes, you do.
Always.
And vice versa. But I never cut you off. All right. Now, shall we begin?
Yeah, but do we need to introduce ourselves? We got to say a big thank you. Big thank you to Doug, right? And do our social media shout outs quickly.
Fine. I'm Dan America. You can find me on Twitter at Human America and on Instagram, DanAmerica59, Facebook, Dan America. You can also read our blogs at Q103Albany.com and Alt1057Albany.com.
Yeah.
I got it right.
You got it right. I'm Tatiana. You can find me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at RockGirlTatiana. You could hear me on air and read my blogs at Q103Albany.com, and you can read my blogs at Alt1057Albany.com.
You can also watch our YouTube videos on the Q103 YouTube, and now there are some videos of you on the Alt-1057.
Yes, I've got
YouTube.
Some videos up interviewing bands and such on the Alt-1057 YouTube. So all you need to do is go to youtube.com and search either Q103 Albany or Alt-1057 Albany.
Yeah, we're just living it up here. Okay, so without further ado, are you ready to play Change My Mind?
Ooh, 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 ooh. That was a really big contrast from the sound effects I was making.
All right.
I'm such a millennial.
Oh, well, then that reminds me, we should thank your husband, Chris, for these awesome sounds.
Yes, Christopher LaPlante, thank you for writing all of our music so that we have original music to use for the Generation X-Files podcast.
And I should suppose that we should thank my son, Donovan, for this.
Yeah. Best sound effect in the world.
Never gets old.
I have a beef with your son.
Why? What'd he do?
Because the new Jurassic World was so bad.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that last night he said something. I had to tell him that you didn't like how the dinosaurs are being treated in the movie.
Yeah.
And that you cried, and he wanted me to tell you not to worry because he's going to save the dinosaurs.
Oh, he's so sweet. Oh, thank you, Donovan.
Yeah, make him look all sweet and everything, and I'm about to be a complete a-hole here with this game.
Oh, man. All right, let's start.
Okay, let's start. So, my first statement about millennials is that millennials ruined coffee by exploiting it and trying to put it on every street corner. Coffee houses used to be just for, like, beatniks and artsy shut-ins to go out and sip coffee and try to look badass while they're sipping their coffee and eating their cinnamon buns, and they didn't want to be bothered by anyone. And now you got Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, where any soccer mom who can pronounce latte is going to show up and order these drinks that aren't real lattes. I worked at a coffee shop when the big coffee boom happened, where Dunkin' Donuts started selling lattes and all this cappuccino stuff, and I made the perfect lattes for these two women. Perfect shots. Oh, just like brilliant golden foam on the top of the espresso shots. Milk steamed and just frothed a little to perfection. Give them to the ladies. They left. They came back. They wanted their money back. They said that they were no good. And then I found out that Dunkin' Donuts were infusing Splenda into their espresso shots. So people started thinking that you're not supposed to be able to put sugar in your latte, when that's not how it goes. That's not how it goes at all. But on top of that, you have these soccer moms and these ritzy, yuppie, weird ladies that walk in the Starbucks and think that their order is so sophisticated and that you should remember it after the second time they order it if you're working at a Starbucks, and then they get upset if you don't write their name on their cup. Well, if your order is so freaking specific, then you should remember the name, what your order is, when they call it out. But then even the baristas at Starbucks are jerks, because they're not real baristas. They are pressing buttons. You jerks are pressing buttons. I don't care how cool you think you are. I don't care how fast you think you are. I don't care if you think that you're a good barista. I don't care if you've been working at Starbucks for 5 years pressing a button, because I ground my shots. I packed my shots. I took time in my barista work, and all you people do are press buttons, and you want to give me dirty looks. That's right.
All right, so
I worked at Starbucks. Hey, you're cutting me off here.
I thought you were done.
So millennials ruined coffee by trying to make it bigger and better and more marketable and corporate and shallow and superficial. Millennials just ruined coffee.
Okay, so first of all, Dunkin' Donuts was established in like 1950.
But they didn't start.
You can't cut me off. Dunkin' Donuts was established in 1950. Starbucks was established in 1971, long before the and Pete's Coffee, another branch, established in 1966. Let's see, the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf established in 1963. Tim Hortons established 1964. All of these fast food, whatever, fast coffee places were established prior to the millennial generation. Much like you just hated on, these soccer moms and moms and whatever want their lattes are all Gen Xers, not millennials. The people who are running these marketing campaigns for these companies are Gen Xers, not millennials. So everything you just bitched about ties back to Gen X or before.
Are you ready for my counter?
Yeah.
Tatiana, are you a millennial?
No, I'm in between.
But technically, you're kind of like a millennial,
no,
right?
No, I'm in that in-between generation.
You know what Zennial. I'm saying.
No, you're wrong.
All right, Zennial.
Yeah.
When you go to Starbucks, do you have a specific order?
Yeah, green tea, because I don't drink coffee right now.
But when you did drink coffee and you went to your Starbucks, do you have a specific order there?
Just a black red eye.
Oh, just a black red eye.
Yeah.
Huh? Just a black
That's
red
it.
Eye.
I don't get anything fancy.
All right, fine. You didn't get anything fancy. However, I didn't say, I said that millennials ruined it.
Every specific example that you gave to back up your hate was tied to Gen Xer before.
Gen Xers, Dunkin' Donuts didn't start serving lattes and cappuccinos and stuff.
I'm pretty sure Dunkin' Donuts was making like fast coffee and ruining coffee
before. I worked at Dunkin'. I worked at two different Dunkin' Donutses.
Two of how many in the country?
A lot.
Uh-huh. All right.
But I worked at...
So any good scientific experiment has a larger sample population than two.
Then I bet you it was a millennial's idea.
You're wrong. You have no evidence to back your complaints up.
Yes, I do. It's because...
You just have subjective experience.
When I worked at Starbucks... Generation X moms were bringing their millennial daughters in, and their millennial daughters were eating it right up.
And who was responsible for bringing them in? Generation X moms. Why are they bringing their little millennial kids to have coffee anyway? Little kids aren't supposed to have coffee. High schoolers aren't supposed to have coffee. They're too young to have coffee. That's the mom's fault.
All right, fine.
That's why people have health
Generation
issues in this
Xers
country.
Ruined coffee to make it more appealing to millennial-minded jerks. There. Are you satisfied?
All right.
Okay, get off my lawn.
Tatiana 1, Dan 0.
We're not keeping score. We're not keeping score. That's not fair. You can't say that we're
now.
Keeping score if we're not keeping score. All right, it's your turn.
All right. Batman is better than the millennial generation.
You did not just go there. Well,
you can't argue me. You can't argue me with.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can. Okay. So let's go back a little bit. We're not going to go too far back. We're only going to go to, we're only going to go as far as Adam West. Okay. Now, Adam West Batman was cheesy and campy and corny, but that's why you loved it. I mean. Oh my God, I can't think of. All right, Holy Hole in a Donut, Batman. Come on, all those cheesy one-liners from Robin.
I'm not saying
Burgess Meredith
as the Penguin. I'm not saying I didn't love that. I grew up watching the Adam West Batman, but millennial Batman and the millennial generation. I mean, come on, the Christopher Nolan movies.
I'm getting there.
All the different incarnation of Batman.
I'm coming right up on
all
that.
All right, and Gotham.
Okay, so don't. I'm gonna bury that fucking show. I don't care if I swear when I talk about that show, because if people don't want to listen to me talk about Gotham, then that's fine, because people shouldn't pay attention to Gotham.
Gotham's a great show.
No, it's not. It sucked.
Nah,
okay.
Enigma.
I'm moving on here. I'm moving on to the Tim Burton Batman film.
The best one.
No, not really.
The best one.
Not really. So you got the Tim Burton Batman films, and they were good. Once again, Batman was dark, but... Mm-hmm. The darker Batman comes from, oh my God, I'm forgetting the man's name. How am I forgetting this guy's name right now?
The hell kind of Batman?
Frank Miller.
Fan are you?
Frank Miller. Yeah, so that's the darker Batman is the Frank Miller Batman. And Batman was always supposed to be dark, like the original Bob Kane Batman was a dark character before Adam West and Burt Ward lightened it up. But the Frank Miller is a Gen Xer, or at least I think he is, but the stuff that he was writing appealed more to Generation Xers, so you would not have the Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan Batmans unless Generation Xer wrote those stories and turned Batman back into the dark person that he was.
True.
So Although the Christopher Nolan Batman can be perceived as the millennial Batman, it is actually based off of the Generation X Batman.
Well, yeah, I'm not arguing that. I just think in the millennial generation, they've taken Batman so many different directions that
no, you don't.
Amazing.
You don't. You do not take Batman in different directions when
and
writing.
You do,
when
and
writing
it's amazing.
A Batman comic book, you are given a Batman Bible, which are things that Batman is not supposed to do. And if you want to argue that Batman used guns in comic books, those were elsewhere books. Elsewhere meaning they're not a part of DC continuity, and they're pretty much what ifs. That's what Marvel used to call their versions of Elsewhere's. It was if. Now, back to what I was
saying. Can we agree on the one millennial thing that was not good?
What?
The one millennial Batman that was not good.
Bennett Batflick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I refuse to watch those.
I know. You know why? Those movies are actually, I like those movies.
No, I don't.
You've never seen
out.
Them.
Yes, I did. I flipped out.
You just said I refused to watch them.
My wife forced me, and I mean forced me.
Uh-huh.
To watch Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
I flipped out so hard during the Lex Luthor scene, the Lex Luthor Lois Lane scene.
That one was
kind of
weird too, because there was five stories in one. It was weird.
That
I
is
don't know.
Not how Lex Luthor acts. That is not Lex Luthor's
However,
demeanor.
Like Wonder Woman, Batman had Ben Affleck had a cameo in that, like a little bit part. And Wonder Woman, right in the beginning.
Oh, it was probably terrible.
You know what I mean?
So,
like, you can't refuse to watch any of the movies with him, but he was a weird choice for Batman.
We're getting off topic
here. I know.
So, anyway, and then you have this little shit show called Gotham.
Which
that's
I
supposed to be the prequel to Batman, where it focuses on Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
And want to know the stupidest part about this? Gotham is based off of Batman Year One by Frank Miller, fundamentally.
Okay.
Because in Gotham Year One, they touch upon that. Okay. And they also had a series called Gotham PD. So it had been done before, but then once these jackoffs got their hands on it, they just had to force characters like Batman and the Joker into it. And here's the deal. Well, first of all, Selina Kyle was not on the catwalk when the most infamous scenes in comic book history happens. She's nowhere near it. You wonder where Selina Kyle was? She was in an orphanage.
How many episodes of Gotham have you watched?
None.
So how can you hate on the show that you've never seen?
I listen to what people tell me. Oh, and just
you listen to what people tell
just
me?
Just from what they tell me, I
if
can...
If people told you the sky was green, would you listen to them?
No. You don't understand.
I do understand that
show
that you're
is
complaining.
So, that with, show is so unoriginal and so shitty that someone
you
can...
You have never seen
you stop
it.
Interrupting me, little T.
No, because your argument is not valid because
yes,
you've never
it
seen
is,
it.
You didn't
no,
let me
that's
finish.
Like
you
fake news.
Didn't let me finish.
That's like
it's
fake
not
news.
Fake news. do you want to do the... Do
it's
want to,
it's
do
like
do
illegitimate.
Do you want to do the test right now?
What?
I think we've done this before. It's where somebody starts telling me one of the plots to Gotham, and I can guess where they're going
it
to go with it.
It doesn't matter, though, because you've never seen the show, so your
I
argument is
some of the first episode, and I got too pissed off.
Some of one episode. Your argument is not valid. You have to watch at least three episodes for your argument to be
I
valid.
I walked in during that scene where Selina Kyle's on the catwalk when the Waynes are murdered in Crime Alley.
Oh, my God.
Hated it.
You have to literally give a show three episodes to decide if you like it or not.
And then they got this guy that's supposed to be the Joker. The Joker does not exist without Batman.
Do you know there's...
The Joker cannot exist before Batman.
Do you know there's scientific evidence that shows that you have to like hear or see something three times before your brain really registers? Is it?
If I watched it, I'll have an aneurysm or like a blood clot or something because I'll get so pissed off.
Your argument is illegitimate now that I know you've never actually
However,
seen the show.
However, did I change your mind that the millennial Batman is not better than the Generation X Batman?
No, not at all.
But you wouldn't have these millennial Batman movies unless... You wouldn't have Gotham if it wasn't for Generation X.
Well, I understand that, absolutely, but...
Which means, if they're basing the series
off
of...
But you wouldn't have all these awesome different Batmans without the millennial generation.
Yes, you would.
No, because they all came out in the movies during the millennial generation.
No, they came out in the comic books before they
were
turned
into
movies. It doesn't matter. They're basing the movies off of the Generation X comics.
Yeah, but there's so many different interpretations, like Ben Affleck versus...
No, there's not.
Versus Christian Bale.
They all have the same fundamental bat aspects to them, but...
tell me Val Kilmer has the same bad aspects as Christian Bale.
Yes, he does. I'll tell you why. He used the Dirty Harry voice.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I get that.
When he was Batman.
I get that. Those kind of things,
voice alteration, the gadgets and stuff that. Didn't shoot anyone.
Okay. Batman never shoots anyone.
Yeah.
I've never seen Batman shoot anyone.
In Elseworlds books, he does.
Well, I don't know. I don't read that.
However... So the whole, the whole plot to Batman Forever, the characters in it, the Riddler and Two-Face, Generation X Batman villains, how can you say that the millennial Batman is better?
All right, we're on to the next topics. We're at a disagreement.
Oh,
we're at an impasse.
You're a real jerk.
I am. We're at an impasse.
All right, fine. Look what's coming up. Or should I skip one to make you get all pissed off?
I don't know.
I'll save it. I'll do this one first. Okay.
All right. My tea is still too hot to drink, by the way.
Yeah, that's really because your generation ruined coffee and tea. Anyway. Millennials ruined comedy.
False. Some.
Whoa. Hey, false. You're going to cut me off before I even start?
Because how is comedy ruined?
Okay, I'll tell you. So... Millennials ruined comedy because Generation X comedy had subtleties to it. Generation Xers actually told jokes where millennials' style of comedy is to talk about their lives and make it wacky. Some millennials, when they do comedy, they're not even being honest. They're just making shit up about themselves, where Generation X comedians, if they made shit up, they told you that they're making shit up. They didn't insert themselves in it. It's because millennials, it always has to be all about them, and that's how they ruin stand-up. Because millennial stand-up comedy is just a page out of somebody's diary, and it's fucking boring. I don't understand how people are entertained by it. And millennials are ruining comedy pictures because they try to make it so obvious when the joke is coming. That's why I can't stand Melissa McCarthy movies, because you know that it's going to happen. It's just like, okay, oh, here comes the situation, and she's going to be wacky, and then she's wacky, and then she says some kind of wacky catchphrase. Like, take Bridesmaids, for example. Okay, when she's driving by with all the puppies in her car, and she's like, "I got all these puppies." It's like, that's not funny. You just look fucking stupid. I don't care that you got all those puppies. It would be funnier if she drove by and tried to make it seem like she didn't have a dozen puppies in the back of her truck. That would have been funny. But no, she's got to pump her fist and be like, "I'm Melissa McCarthy. I'm wacky. Look at all the puppies I took." And that's why I hate millennial comedy, because everything has to be so obvious. There's no subtleties to comedy anymore. I watch Generation X comedies and I laugh my ass off, and they don't even tell you that the jokes are coming. And that's why I laugh my ass off, because I'm surprised. Even though I've seen the goddamn thing 30 times, I'm reminded of the time that I was surprised about that, and I appreciate it. Where millennial comedies, you don't, nothing subtle. Everything's out there. It's like, uh-oh, this guy's about to slip and poop. Oh, he slipped and poop. Wait, but we gotta make it bigger and better because we're millennials, so he's not just going to slip in one pile of poop. He's going to get up, and then you're going to see more poop that he's going to slip in before he slips in the poop. Where in Generation X comedies, if a guy slipped in shit, he got back up, and you went on with the movie. They didn't have to focus on how wacky or funny it was.
I've literally never yawned so much in my life.
Millennials ruined comedy because they have to be so extreme. They have to be so overdone. They have to try to make it like it's the best, funniest thing ever. And that is why everybody remembers Generation X classic comedies, but nobody gives a shit about millennial comedy.
I literally have never yawned so much in my life during that monologue.
Go ahead. Change my mind.
I think you just have a beef with Melissa McCarthy.
No, I don't like...
Well, I know you don't like her comedy.
I don't like Ed Helms.
I like Ed Helms.
I don't like Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, I like him.
I don't like...
How about Jason Bateman? I love Jason.
Can't stand him.
See, that's where we disagree. I understand the Melissa McCarthy thing because I understand like the over the top. I'm not a huge fan of that. But I think there's a lot of good comedy still. I mean, I'll
tell you my problem with Jason Bateman.
I like Jason Bateman.
I don't like Jason Bateman because and everything that I've seen of him, uh-huh. He's the straight guy that odd things happen to or comedic things happen to.
I love that. I love his role like that.
He overdoes it. Just like I was saying, he makes it so obvious that he's supposed to be the straight guy here. Yep, I'm the straight and narrow guy. Look at me. I'm Jason Bateman, straight and narrow.
But the thing
wait. David Cross is doing something goofy now. Now my day is ruined and I was the straight guy.
And first of all, Jason Bateman's a Gen Xer, so he's not a millennial comedian.
Well, then he's betraying everyone. He's betraying
his own
generation.
Melissa McCarthy also is a Gen Xer.
She's betraying her generation.
All of these people that you're talking about are Gen Xers.
I like Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Love Sarah Silverman.
So there you go. So they're all Gen Xers, all the people you're talking about. But there are good millennial comedians. I don't think it's ruined. I think that...
But they're making comedy for millennials. They're marketing for
millennials.
And
who's there? Who is there making comedy? Who is
Generation
there
Xers and millennials?
Driving it?
It's gotten to the point where some millennials have grown up, but they're still stupid.
Yeah, but when we did our podcast with Kyle about film and stuff, and we had a huge conversation about this, about how major studios are run by corporations and they're down to the dollar.
I can go a little bit further.
Saying what's being marketed, I agree it's for millennials, and maybe their sense of comedy isn't as good as Gen X and the subtleties, but that's different than saying that comedy is ruined by millennials.
Millennials have ruined comedy.
Okay, why?
YouTube. I'm talking about the YouTube comedians, the YouTube shows where it's like, oh, can you guess what's coming out of my butt?
Yeah, but
stuff like
Zach
that.
Zach Galifianakis started like that with Between Two Ferns.
But Zach Galifianakis was good. Like, Between Two Ferns, there's nothing to it. It's just Zach Galifianakis acting weird.
He had an outlet, and I'm sure in Gen X and in the
I'm
generation before
about
that,
the
there were
annoying,
lots of people who did comedy
people.
That were annoying and bad.
Like the kids who think it's funny to film themselves running into a store and stealing something.
Well, that's not comedy. That's theft.
They think it's comedy.
And that's just I'm a Bee Wannabes that you don't like. That's not comedy.
Yeah, but
you're applying things to the wrong places.
Yes, but a viral free video is going to reach more people.
But that's a viral video. That's not comedy. That's different.
But they
that's
call it
different.
Comedy. The I'm a Bee Wannabes want you to think it's comedy, and they have millennials convinced that
but
it
you
is
keep
comedy.
Saying they. Who is they? This is like one subset of people.
I'm talking about all the generations after Generation
okay,
X.
How about like the first night of Funny when Brian Bowden or whatever his last name is came to the Egg, and he's millennial and did fucking hysterical comedy. How about like
did he talk about himself?
No, he talked about his kid. It was hysterical.
Yeah, that's his own life. It's like a page out of his diary.
Yeah, it was like watching a Jerry Seinfeld stand-up. It was it was awesome. It was the funniest show.
I like Carlin.
I have friends who are millennials who literally started a comedy club in Burlington, Vermont, coming from stand-up, and they believe so much in the comedy community they started a comedy club. So you can't tell me millennials ruin comedy.
Well, I never seen that.
If you
comedy.
Actually involve yourself, which I know you do in the community, millennials still keep stand-ups going. They still advocate for comedy. It's just
but
that
they
the
all
average
have like these
well, certain people and a subset of the
certain
population.
Certain people's style. I can't stand
the
comedy
same
where it's
music,
like a page
anything,
out of their diary,
which is something that you can't stand. But
no, I mean,
it doesn't mean comedy
can't
is
they
ruined.
Think a little bit about writing a joke and just instead of saying. So today I went to Starbucks. It's like, and all of a sudden the audience is like, ooh, he's going to talk about going to Starbucks. No, I don't fucking
care. Yeah, but
Jerry
Seinfeld was no different. He talked about Pop-Tarts.
I'm not a
and
big,
water bottles.
I'm not a big Seinfeld fan.
See, he's
like,
one of my favorites.
I like
Carlin. I love Jerry Seinfeld.
I like Richard Pryor.
So I think
Lenny
we've come
Bruce.
Down to like, this is just your style of comedy. Because I think honestly, back in like the Gen X generation or whatever, baby boomers were probably saying the same shit about like Andy Kaufman and like that guy's so weird, he's ruining comedy.
I love
you
Andy
know?
Kaufman.
I know, so do I. I'm just saying, like baby boomers were probably saying the same shit about him and Gen X that you're saying about millennials.
Okay, get off my lawn, Tatiana. Get off my lawn. You made your point.
I love this episode. I'm arguing with you about everything. This is my favorite episode ever.
You changed
ever.
My mind a little. Millennial comedy still sucks. But maybe it's just because I can't appreciate it because of my the generation of comedy that I'm used to. But YouTube comedians and wacky YouTube people.
Wacky
should,
inflatable and flailing arm tube man.
Yeah, whatever. They should all be locked up in a small room and be forced to entertain each other for 48 hours without any sleep or water or bathroom breaks. They'd eat each other alive. Okay, your turn.
I know. Well, this is a tough one because I feel like you'll agree with me on it. But I see.
Remember, I have to change your mind.
I know. And I don't know.
Over and pour me out. Well, my next one's gonna make you angry. Okay.
I'm so lost. I keep thinking about serial killers, but I don't know.
Okay. And we're doing a podcast where we're supposed to be arguing, and you got serial killers on the brain here. You don't have a pen over there, or what do you carry around in your bag?
I have this thing of a body.
Oh God,
wooden joints.
No, she's playing with a little art figurine.
And how I'm gonna decapitate it? No, I was gonna make. I was because all I've been doing lately is watching public access TV. Which, okay, that'll be my argument. Public access TV is better in the millennial generation, which it totally is. I have one argument for why, and that is because the Justice Channel, which is on public access TV, and it just shows two true crime shows all the time.
Well, I got some news for you there.
And I just watch about serial killers all the time. Anyway, I was going to try to make an argument about serial killers in Gen X versus now, but I couldn't figure out how to phrase it. So
you're going to try to imply that millennial serial killers are better than Generation X serial killers.
I was going to actually argue that baby boomers were better than Gen Xers, that Gen Xers weren't that good. But then I was like, and then my mind started going off on all the different types of serial killers. And I was like, well, that's not really true. There were some good ones.
Tatiana, I don't know if you're aware of this, but serial killers are bad. And the fact that we have almost so many to compare throughout the generations is bad. In fact, the whole point of serial killers, true crime and all that business is to educate the people so that people will stop doing it. So why the hell are you sitting here wanting to compare them like they have to one-up each other?
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm so obsessed with true crime.
Did I change your mind?
Oh my God. I guess you did. I mean, I know serial killers are bad. Obviously, murder's not good, but it's just so fascinating. I like to psychoanalyze all these serial killers.
You can't just settle for the old ones and not look for new ones.
No, because I watched this whole special the other day on the Justice Channel because it's on my it's on my TV nonstop at home. I watch nothing but the Justice Channel. I'm obsessed with true crime.
Okay.
And so I watched this whole special the other day about a guy who mimicked from the UK who mimicked Jack the Ripper and went on murder sprees to try to mimic Jack the Ripper, but in more modern times.
Whoa! Pump the brakes there. So in other words. Millennial serial killer couldn't even be creative.
Original,
couldn't be his own person.
And so that's what I was trying to make my argument, with generationals, with serial killers, with generations, and then I kind of started thinking about all the different serial killers in my head, and I was like, oh, you know. Anyway, okay. Murder is bad.
Yes. All right, are you ready for me to piss
you? Changed my mind.
Are you ready for me to piss you off now?
Yeah.
Okay.
After I just got an ab workout laughing.
Yeah. Okay. We need some music for this one because I picked this one just to upset you. So hold on. Bear with me here.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're going to go with suspense. Da da. Okay. And then my next statement is
okay.
Millennial punk music sucks.
Oh, please. Okay.
Generation X punk rock rules. The Ramones, the Sex Pistols.
Okay,
and,
please.
What is that? Billy Idol?
Those are all good musicians, yes. But what millennial punk music do you know? How many basement punk shows have you gone to?
Because
before the Ramones, all of them were famous. They were doing the basement shows and the underground scenes. How many basement punk shows have you been to now? Underground punk shows.
One.
Yeah. That's it.
It was actually quite hilarious.
Yeah. So what millennial punk bands do you know?
That one where they wear all the makeup and look really gay.
You shouldn't use the word gay like
that. Okay, fine. Where they look really stupid. Good Charlotte?
That's not punk.
What is that?
That's like pop punk. That's a different category.
You see, Generation X just had punk. It was just punk.
No.
Punk rock.
Yeah, but not now. Music has, that's the problem with music. I will argue, I will agree with you on this, because music category, I was just talking to someone about this the other day, how much music categories have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Where like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what we considered alt rock then is not what's considered alt rock now.
Yes.
And what used to be just punk rock, now you have like all different like subsets and genres. What used to just be rock, you had
Green Day. Green Day sucks.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They do not suck. Yes, they do. No, they don't.
Well, want to know what my beef with Green Day is?
What?
So,
and you realize they're Gen Xers.
I don't care. They appeal to millennials. They appeal to some Generation Xers. But my beef with Green Day is that they're out there doing their big sold-out concerts where they're singing their political song with terrible lyrics. Meanwhile, System of a Down's like political songs and lyrics are like so like cutting edge and so like hard hitting and so freaking awesome. And System of a Down is so freaking awesome. And they have to disband for a while Green Day still gets to play their shitty little political song that sounds like a 4-year-old wrote it.
Green Day's not shitty, and bands have so many different dynamics for as to why they have to disband and not and things like that.
I know.
I mean, look at Metallica has literally like has a therapist that moderates their conversations.
Don't get me going on Metallica.
James Hetfield's talked about it, you know. So I still question how you can say millennial punk music sucks when you don't go to punk shows or no.
That's because it's not appealing to me.
So you just don't like the music.
I'm happy with my Generation X punk.
You're just close-minded.
I'm not close-minded. I told you I went to a dung underground punk show.
No.
It was actually hilarious. This was hilarious. So we go to this show at Valentine's. It's an old venue and that was in Albany. It's no longer there. You know, and it was a complete like underground punk scene. And the lead singer to the headlining band after the show is like sitting there smoking cigarettes on the sidewalk, you know, just sitting there being a dirty punk. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, walks up to him and says, "I like your outfit. You remind me of Steven Tyler."
And your wife said that?
Yeah, and the guy
That's
just...
That's kind of a weird thing to say.
And the guy just, like, completely stops, looks up at her, and says, thank you, I think?
What's wrong with that?
Well, it just shows you that, like...
I mean, I would probably think the same thing. I had someone tell me my hair looked like Steven Tyler one time, and I was like, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, think about it. You're a dirty, grungy punk rocker.
Which you're supposed to be grungy and dirty, because that's punk rock. And
now you're sitting in the gutter smoking your cigarette, and some weird little girl walks up to you and says, "I like you. You look like Steven Tyler."
And what?
A Generation X punk rocker would have tried to eat my wife, my girlfriend at the time.
I don't think so. I think that's the image that you have. I think the punk rock.
Or is it the image I think that I want
even
to
though,
have?
I think it's the image you want to have. Okay. Because I think that, honestly.
Change my own mind?
Yeah, you did.
This was supposed to piss you off, and like it actually seems to have calmed you down from the serial killer conversation. Seems like you're enjoying this conversation.
Yeah, you like the Interrupters, right?
But I thought they were like more like ska.
Ska, punk, it's all kind of the same scene.
Why do there have to be so many different genres? That's what you millennials did.
That's different, and I agree with you. I think all the subsets, like rock turned into fucking, like, there's screamo, there's metalcore, there's new age rock, whatever.
Yeah, it pisses me off. There's so many
different subsets.
It pisses me off. Can't there just be one? Why? Oh, what, everyone's got to be different?
Yeah, but you like the Interrupters, so.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Well, I like the lead singer.
Do you like Real Big Fish?
Not really.
Okay.
I never got to win. Like,
I can say a lot of people like them.
The Mighty Boston.
Oh, I love the Boston. Love
Real
the
Big Fish. Wasn't a big fan.
I'm with you on that.
Does
I can go either way.
Bloodhound Gang count?
No, I don't. Not. I don't know. Well, I feel like they're. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Moving
anyway,
on.
I think you changed your own mind on that one.
Okay, it's your turn to change my mind then. But the Ramones are still the greatest punk rock band that ever lived.
I can't.
No
argue
contest.
With that. I can't argue with you on that.
Because because some of us still remember rock and roll radio. Okay.
God, this is so tough. Because I feel like we agree on so much. Everything I want to say, I like.
We didn't
like
agree on that Batman
agree.
Shit.
I know.
Okay.
Everything I want to say is like
I've
stuff
got
we agree
three
on.
More after this.
Okay.
But if you're really struggling, we can move on to one of mine because you seem to love telling me that I'm wrong.
I do. Yeah, but I know because normally we agree on stuff and hate on millennials. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's hard for me to pick something that you're not going to agree with.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Dig deep, Tatiana.
I don't want to dig deep.
Okay, skim off the top. Just try to argue with me, goddammit.
All right, you pick the next thing. You say the next topic.
Oh, God, my next one?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Millennials are responsible for implied popularity.
Oh, I've heard this before. Come
and it
on.
Makes me
this
sick.
This is like a hamster wheel. Like,
I
this
know
comes
that,
up every podcast.
I know that Generation blah, blah, Xers blah, blah. Had a hand in it, but millennials buy into it, and that's
blah,
what pisses
blah, blah,
me off.
Blah, blah.
What implied popularity is, and yes, I'm waving my finger in the air right now, I'm telling a bunch of kids to get off my lawn, but what implied popularity is when someone.
Oh, I have one.
What?
I have something to say to argue with you after this.
Okay. But what implied popularity is when someone is introduced as being popular before gaining actual popularity.
Which is, I think, a byproduct of our whole generation in general with the technology and the marketing and everything.
Generation X, popular icons, cultural and all that business, they earned it. They weren't introduced with some schmuck in a suit saying, hey, kids, you love this guy. You haven't heard him yet, but you love him already. Since when did the entertainment industry become the equivalent of a bunch of fucking knife salesmen?
Well, it kind of did do that, though, back then, right? Because, like, FM radio, right now, everyone has outlets. You know, I can go on YouTube and promote myself. I can go on this and promote myself and this and whatever technology.
But do you go around telling people that you're popular?
Well, I'm just saying, back in the day when FM radio controlled everything and the DJs used to get paid off and bought off in drugs and shit like that, you know, that kind of was implied popularity because someone could be like, pay a DJ and be like, play this new band on the air and everyone's going to
think that wasn't implied popularity.
You know what I mean?
They earned it. They bought off the DJs for drugs and stuff. You just said it yourself. Well,
I mean, what's a couple eight balls to a... You know, get a song on air.
Do you have any idea the trouble they went through to get those eight balls?
I know. That's not implied popularity. They earned it, man.
Yeah. No, but I see
oh
what
my
you're
God.
Saying.
Oh, that's funny.
But do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Here?
I agree with you.
I'm talking about the outbreak of the epidemic of pop stars
oh
in like the 2000s. I mean, how many did they have? Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears, what's her name? Greasy Fatty there.
All right, I'm gonna argue with you now. Can I argue with you now?
Sure. What are you gonna
argue?
Unimplied
popularity.
Okay, argue
well,
about pop.
So it's about implied popularity, but it's gonna go into my next thing. I'm putting on my big shades.
Oh yeah. Okay.
For this.
Yeah, because you need it because we're in a studio.
I have big black sunglasses on right now.
It's 8:20 at night, so.
The Jersey Shore cast are true celebrities.
No, they are not. You are never going to change my mind about that.
You know why they are true celebrities? Because the Jersey Shore was a big hit, like 10 years ago?
Just because you can get a bunch of brain dead.
But it wasn't just a one-time phenomenon, because 10 years later, or 9 years later now, Jersey Shore has returned to MTV, and it's huge. They're hits again. Everyone loves it. The Jersey Shore, they've shown themselves to be true celebrities.
Do you know how easy it is to entertain a bunch of brain-dead millennials?
Not that easy, because all of the...
I beg to differ.
MTV's other reality shows
The Jersey
shows
Shore is all you need to prove that fact.
Well, look what happened to Winter and Hunter Mountain in New York. Whatever happened with that show? It's all their other shows fail, but the Jersey Shore, there's something
That's
about
because people
it.
People are starting to get a little bit smarter.
They are true celebrities.
But, everyone's still a complete dumbass.
Snooki is a household name now. She's a true celebrity.
She's not. My son does not know Snooki's name, therefore not a household name. If you tried to tell my dad who Snooki is, he'd probably look at you and it would go through one ear and out the other. You tell me that your parents know who Snooki
they
is.
They do. My dad jokes about Snooki all the time.
Why? Why would he do that?
Like, not in a positive way, but he knows who she is.
You made him. You made him do it. I'm going to go with that.
Oh, man. Anyway, I got you all riled up now.
Well, but you didn't change my mind about implied popularity, so I guess I win that one.
Well, you win implied popularity. I win Jersey Shore.
No, Jersey Shore does not want a goddamn thing. Jersey Shore, a cast member of the Jersey Shore,
they're like... Not quite Kardashian level, but you can like log on to any media outlet and see something about the Jersey Shore cast. Still, 10 years later, after they originally premiered, they haven't gone away. They've come back even
stronger.
They
had to come back because they had nothing else to do because no one would hire them to do anything.
They're celebrities, man.
The Situation tried doing stand-up comedy at the roast of Donald Trump and almost got booed off the stage.
Except
Snooki was at a WrestleMania, almost got booed out of the ring.
Because that's WrestleMania. It's not really her crowd. It's kind of weird that Snooki would be at WrestleMania.
Which is implied popularity because they put her there because they wanted to tell everyone, you love Snooki, don't you? No, we don't. You know what I love seeing Snooki do? Get drunk and fall face down on a beach while the cops are chasing her.
So you just admitted you love the Jersey Shore because that's what she does.
I love seeing them fail and go away. I was happy when it ended and I was pissed off when it came back.
They're back stronger than ever now.
And they're ruining MTV's ratings.
No way, man. Vinny's my homeboy.
Who the hell's Vinny?
He's the best one on the show.
I don't know.
I
who
love
that,
Vinny.
All I know is Snooki in The Situation. That's all I know.
Oh, man.
They all suck. I would like to see, you know, a real Jersey Shore person shove a skee ball down their throats.
Why? That's not nice.
Yes, it is.
That's not nice.
Say hot dog.
That's like out of a...
Say hot dog.
Hot dog. You
didn't change my mind about implied popularity. All right, moving on. Do you have something or do you
That was my thing. Jersey Shore. All right, Halloween is better in the millennial generation.
The movies or the holiday?
No, the holiday.
I have to change your mind about this, huh?
No. My argument, is that Halloween is better in the millennial generation. So you have to change my mind about it.
It's safer.
You think it's safer?
Yeah.
What do you mean, like?
In Generation X, we legitimately had to worry about people putting razors, pins, and pills and
That's
candy.
That's true. And I remember as a kid, someone blew a fire extinguisher in my friend's face and she went to the hospital on Halloween.
And was this,
people did weird shit like that.
Yeah. And before you were a kid, when Generation X's were kids, like after most of the kids went home from the trick-or-treating, it was hell night. Vandalism.
People tore apart the towns with eggs and shaving cream.
People further than that, people would burn things.
Yeah. That is true.
When I was
Which
a
is
kid,
why a lot of towns, though, now have, like, my town where I grew up doesn't do, we used to go to all the houses and trick-or-treating. Now they just have people line up on the main road.
Yeah, because,
and do, like, a
because Generation X-ers scared the shit out of everyone.
It's awesome.
So that means that Generation X-ers did Halloween right.
So Halloween is better now. I know.
Halloween is safer now, but is it better?
I think that there's a lot more access to make sick costumes than there was in Generation
X.
So
there
that's
was.
Better. There's a lot more accessible, like sci-fi makeup and.
Okay, there's only one reason why I'm going to agree with you is because I like seeing girls in cosplay.
Lingerie.
Cosplay, not
it's basically
lingerie.
Basically lingerie.
Well, sometimes, and I like the slutty nurse outfit and.
That was my first Halloween costume in college. I was lazy.
You just ruined it for me.
I know. That's why I said it. You'll never like that costume again.
You weren't like a French maid or anything, were you?
No.
A cat?
No.
You were never a cat.
I was
Halloween.
Never a cat. honestly.
I'm so surprised.
I was never a cat, as much as I love my cats.
Well,
that's one thing I never stooped down to.
Okay, good. Then sexy cat outfits have not been
my laziest Halloween costume was a nurse costume. That was it.
My Halloween costumes are lazy now. I was Kevin.
Oh, I live for Halloween. I start planning my costume 6 months in advance.
I plan my costumes. I don't even have to plan my costumes. I've been Kevin Smith and the Boondock Saints for like years now because all I had to do was throw on a jacket.
I'm actually really upset because my friends have had a Halloween party every year for like 21 years. Mm-hmm. Last year was the 21st year, and they're not doing it anymore.
That's.
I have no clue what I'm going to do for Halloween.
Well, I guess
like I literally am at a loss.
I guess that takes a little wind out of your millennial Halloween.
Yeah,
sale.
I have no clue what I'm doing for Halloween. It's so upsetting.
I'm sorry to hear that, Tatiana. Okay, so I didn't change your mind. You changed.
No, but you. I do agree with you that Halloween is safe for now, and Gen Xers maybe did it right. So I do agree with you on that. That was better in the Gen X generation.
Okay, so Halloween is different now.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, millennials invented selfies, and it's fucking annoying.
Yeah, selfies are annoying. I don't think millennials invented them at all. I think that with technology, you can take selfies on the phones and shit. I still think, though, people took selfies, because I remember with disposable cameras, people fucking taking selfies. Like, I remember being at my friend's bar mitzvah when we were like 12 years old with cameras, disposable cameras, taking selfies. I just think the selfie is a thing now with the millennial generation because of technology.
I think that the selfie ruined pictures.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Because back in my day, you know, everyone, like, a picture was a big deal. You know, dad brought out the
expensive
camera. Because
you
could
wait for it to get developed, and it was like a big deal.
Well, even before that, you know, everyone stopped and posed for the picture, and you know, or like you snapped an action shot or something, you put thought into every picture that you took, and the people that you were taking the pictures of, they put like, you know, an equal amount of thought into that.
Exactly.
But nowadays it's just like bing bing bing, I took a picture, I'm gonna post it in and out,
look at me. And the thing is, people post, they take like 80 selfies and post one that looks good while the other like 79 look horrible. You know,
and then they spend the rest of the day stressing on Facebook about, oh, I didn't look good in this one. I look okay in that one. Look at my boobs in that
one. Yeah, it's
too
messed up.
Don't look at my boobs. You're not on my friends list.
I think the weirdest thing to me is
seeing
people take selfies with like, I don't know. I just think of people like, you know, people who like meet like Ian McClellan and take a selfie with him. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird to me. Like,
so. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not changing my mind and you're agreeing with me.
I am. I'm agreeing with you. Well, the one thing I will say, I disagree that millennials invented the selfie, but I think the selfie really took over everything in the millennial generation.
Okay.
So I agree with you there. That it's ruined photos and shit.
And it's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying.
And
they
should stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And shame.
Unless it's a funny selfie. I like funny selfies where you like cross eyes.
Is there
stuff.
Such a. No, I don't even like that.
I like funny selfies, but if you do too many, it's
funny
annoying.
Funny selfies are annoying.
you're annoying.
Okay. Now it's your turn.
This isn't doing anything.
It doesn't do anything.
Star Wars is better in the millennial generation.
Okay.
Damn it. I was trying to.
I like all of Star Wars.
I know. I was hoping that would set you off. I was trying to say something that would set you off.
I am like the neutral Star Wars fan. Just
damn
give me
it.
Anything Star Wars,
that
I'll watch
was a total
it. And I'll
fan.
Be like, hey,
I didn't
cool.
even mean that because I haven't seen any of the new Star Wars.
I'm not picky. I'm not telling anyone that they're ruining my childhood. I don't have fan theories that I expect to like go from my mind to the screen. I like Star Wars for what it is, and in fact, I was watching The Last Jedi last night, and I think I cracked the code. I know who raised parents.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. You cracked the code. I don't know what that means.
Have you seen The Force Awakens?
Which one is that? I've seen all the old Star Wars, and maybe like up through episode one?
Why would you make that statement to me if you don't even know which one the Force Awakens is?
I said I was just trying to say something to piss you off. All right, I will argue that I believe that comic fans and such are cooler in the millennial generation.
No, they're not.
Well, this is my argument. I think they're cool in the Gen X generation, but the millennial generation, it's like comic book fans and like gaming fans and stuff like that. Like people have really embraced their identity.
No,
letting me finish. You have cosplay conventions, you have different like Comic Cons, stuff like that. And I think that honestly, that's so cool to me. Like I went to a Harry Potter convention last year. I was in all my glory. I had the Walking Dead convention I had tickets to go to. I've been to Comic Cons. That's like a big millennial thing. Yeah. I think it's super cool. I think it's cool that millennials can go to these things and not feel like they're going to get like beat up in school for being a nerd. Like they have a place they can fit in.
You know why I did that?
Why?
Because I'm going to stop you right there.
Why?
No.
Because I'm right.
No, you're
not
wrong. Right. You want to know why you're wrong? Why? Want to know why you're wrong?
Why?
It's because of posers. It's because millennial generation, because everybody knows where they're going to be. A millennial can figure out what cosplay is or what they can do at one of these conventions, and they can show up even though they're not a fan. And like you just said, they don't have to worry about getting beat up and all that. Meanwhile, Generation Xers would go to their conventions shaking in their Batman boots because they're afraid that the cool kids were going to see them walking into the auditorium and kick their ass.
All right, well.
Millennial comic fans, millennial fandom fans are not better than Generation Xers, and you would not have any of this if it wasn't for Generation Xers getting their asses kicked for wearing Vulcan ears.
Totally. Look, I agree with that the Gen Xers, we wouldn't have the Comic Cons and the stuff we do without the Gen Xers. I completely agree with that, but I am all about the inclusivity, and even if like I go to Comic Con, right, and I'm dressed up and maybe someone's there who's not so much of like a huge comic fan like I am. You know, you're more a graphic novel person. I love the comics, like the actual true comics that I grew up reading and stuff. And, you know, so I nerded out when I met Bob Camp at Comic-Con. I was like, oh my God, Ren and Stimpy, this is the coolest moment in my life.
I don't nerd out.
You know, I do. I totally do. But, you know, if someone wants to go and they don't maybe know everything and they're exploring that world, why not? Like, welcome them with open arms. Come join the nerd world. I'm all about the inclusivity of the millennial generation with that.
And
I brought people to the Harry Potter convention who knew nothing about Harry Potter just to show them the world of Harry Potter.
And what happened after it?
We had a blast.
Did they watch the movies afterwards?
Yeah,
did they become actual fans?
Yeah.
Hey, now we can legitimately hashtag Hogwarts in this.
I know.
All right.
Yes. Ooh.
Well, I don't mind Harry Potter, but I do mind those millennial wannabe posing freeloaders who show up at cons that will never know the struggle.
I hate the ones who show up wearing like lingerie and shit.
All right, Stranger Things. Stranger Things is a great example of what I'm talking about, because those kids are geeks. They're D&D in it. They're dressing up as the Ghostbusters, and they show up for Halloween at middle school and nobody else is dressed up, and suddenly they're freaking dirks. Dirks. They're dorks. They're dweebs. They're geeks.
Do you know that dweebs wouldn't let me hang out with them in high school?
Yeah.
I want to learn how to play Magic, the Gathering, and the kids who played Magic wouldn't let me learn with
them. Because they're afraid you were going to beat them up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so.
Because you don't know the struggle. Okay. Did we come to a stalemate on that one?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What do you think was better? Sci-fi in the millennial generation?
What am I going to get?
Just one more continuation.
Right, fine.
Sci-fi in the millennial generation or the Gen X generation?
Oh, Gen X.
Okay.
Millennial sci-fi, it's overdone. It's too intricate. There's too much. Like, Generation X sci-fi, like, they worked so hard on their shit.
And
like,
it's kind of creepy because the subtleties, too.
The subtleties, the lighting, the models, the effects.
Everything.
Like, they really had to put in some elbow grease to create their effects and tell their stories, where a millennial can just make it on a computer.
Yeah. All right, we agree on that one.
And then everything looks fake and, well,
CGI'd.
And CGI'd, like, take the Neverending Story versus, I don't know, Avatar. Which one looks cooler?
Avatar was a straight-up ripoff of Ferngully. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Ferngully?
Yes, I have.
One of my favorite. Yeah. I was so pissed when I went to see Avatar in the movies because it was such a big hit because of the graphics and stuff, and it was a straight-up ripoff of Ferngully.
Well, I bashed Avatar, like, a lot, and I was working on
Hollywood.
Bullshit. What?
I said bullshit. I was so mad at that movie.
But anyway, so I was working on Hollywood Video at the time, and someone forced me to watch Avatar.
Yeah.
And they started getting pissed off because I kept a poker face the entire time. And they're like, come on, man. You just want to hate it. And
no, it ripped off Fern Gully.
But my response to his criticism of me wanting to hate it, I feel was quite epic. The piece of criticism that I came up with for Avatar is, do these blue girls have like some adhesive coming from their nipples? Because there's no way that shit's going to hang on there. Where are the blue boobs? I wanted to see blue boobs.
Oh my God.
And they're not explaining anything here. There's no way that their tops are going to just hang on there like that. There has to be some kind of adhesive coming out of their nipples. No. They're all primitive. They're like a primitive species. But they don't have double-sided tape.
Maybe they're magnetic. Maybe they're just naturally magnetic.
No. I want to see my blue boobs.
That's weird.
Well, not my blue boobs. Their blue boobs.
You can find Avatar porn. It used to be on Hustler.com.
I don't want to see Avatar porn
anymore. If you
want to
see blue boobs, they exist.
I had my fill with that Batman porn. I told you that one time.
No, it's so weird.
It's nothing like seeing a so three-way weird. With Batgirl and Batman and Robin.
No, I like my Batman how I know it in my mind. See, millennial generation Batman is better because you got porn out of it.
They even have an Arkham orgy.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Gross.
All right. Maybe we went a little too far there.
Yeah. Wait, how many more things are we doing?
Oh, I have one more.
All right, cool. Let's do that.
Okay. All right, millennials like to hate things only if it's cool.
Well, yeah, because millennials, sorry, I'm yawning. Whatever. I'm off coffee right now. I don't hate it because it's cool. I just am on a diet.
No, there are some millennials out there that would legitimately say that they hate coffee because their friends do.
I agree with you on that. I think that goes though with like the implied popularity and like the instant gratification of this generation, and people just want to be like, you know, like you see one person wearing a type of shoe and everyone has to have it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I suppose they did that in Generation X too, where like you hated something just because your friends.
It's just
it.
Exemplified now.
But I'm talking about like how millennials go on social media and like these campaigns and change.org, and they try to make you feel guilty if you don't hate what they hate.
Yeah, well, I think that's an issue in general that I have with people.
But they're only like, hating things because they think it's cool.
My thing is, like, everyone's entitled to an opinion, but I hope that your opinion is educated. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care what people believe as long as they do some education and have some background on what they believe. I think the problem with a lot of people in this generation is they come up with the idea. I think people in general, not just this generation, come up with ideas or hate on shit when they don't actually do the education.
Yeah, well,
formulate an educated opinion.
Even go back to the Star Wars thing. People hate Star Wars now because they think it's cool to hate it.
Yeah, they don't really know. Exactly.
Like, I went to see the Solo movie. Like, I was entertained from beginning to end. I loved the Solo movie, but we make our video and we get a dislike just because I tell fanboys that they're...
We got a dislike?
Yeah, we got a dislike on that. That was my goal. What? I wanted to piss off the
fanboys.
Yeah,
but I didn't know we got a dislike.
Oh, yeah, we did.
If you guys are wondering about what we're referring to, Dan and I do a Q103 middle class movie review. You can find it at youtube.com, Q103 Albany.
And on that middle class movie review, I reviewed the movie Solo, and apparently some fanboy didn't like what I had to say because it's cool to hate Solo because Disney is... raping Star Wars and like the Indiana Jones, the Crystal Skull. Everyone's saying like, "Oh, it's so terrible! They raped Indiana Jones. Don't even bother." This is like you're just saying that because you think it's cool to say
to
that
hate on it
because
your friend. Yeah. It's almost like I question that sometimes now. Actually, when people come up with opinions, if they really like say right, if I went to a movie with like five of my friends, mm-hmm. I don't really have five friends. That's a lot, but I have my cats. But. If I go to a movie, right, like I'll go to a movie and it finishes and I can be like Jurassic World. I can say I didn't really like that, you know, and that's fine. I come up with my own opinion. However, you see so many people go and they kind of wait and see what their friends think before they say, oh, I liked it or I didn't like it. It's like, wait, what's
the consensus?
Or they
want to read an online review or they want to go to
exactly.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
nobody's
going to
like take the risk
anymore. But that goes back to people thinking for themselves. And I think that's a huge issue in general right now is people...
don't like to think for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And educate themselves and I don't know, whatever. That's a whole other can
of
worms. Or
like you, people want to say things just to piss other people off, yeah. and they get it from the internet. They yeah. see somebody pissing everyone
even
off.
Even though it's like fake news and yeah. stuff.
And, yeah. and they see somebody pissing everyone off on the internet, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go to work and do that because I think that hating this is cool because I yeah. saw a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I hate that. Okay, anyway. You just agreed.
With I me. Do. We'll end it on that note. I agree with you.
What, you don't want to try to piss me off again or anything? Huh?
No, well, no. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Lil T is tired.
Am tired.
She just wants to get in her jammy jams and, you know, snuggle
watch
up.
My true crime serial
watch
killers.
Watch her serial killers and snuggle up with her
How
cats.
How weird is that? I'm home with my cats alone watching about serial killers all night.
Remember what I said in the last episode about cat people?
I promise I work in psychiatry and I'm not just a total creep.
Do you remember what I said in the last episode about cat people? Here, yeah. change my mind about this one.
I'm a cat person and I'm awesome.
They don't have cat parks or cat places where cat people can gather and watch their cats play because all cat people are weird shut-ins that just want to be alone with their cats.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Even if they do meet a significant other, one of the first questions that they ask themselves is, will the cats like them? Well, if the cats don't like them, I can't be with them.
I mean, it's a big deal.
You cat people are weird because you care more about your cats than you do your fellow human beings.
I know, and they're
beings.
So cute, and they're home alone right now, and they want to cuddle with me and watch serial killer documentaries.
They have no teeth, right?
They have some of their teeth.
Oh, just
some of them.
So you want to go hang out with your toothy cats or or your, I don't even, holy cats. I don't know. Well, it is.
They're Ollie and Annie because they're both orphans, like Oliver Twist and Annie, Orphan Annie.
Well, isn't that just
adorable?
Isn't
that sweet?
Okay. I guess we're going to wrap up the Change My Mind episode right now because it's getting late. Can't change our minds about that, can you?
Oh, drum roll.
But we don't have a drum roll.
Oh,
we have a bad pun.
Oh, bad pun.
All right. Well, wait, I said something that you agreed with and it's got to be a bad pun?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Obviously.
Fine. Let me find. Did I upload bad pun onto here? No, I didn't.
Can I tell you? Let's end it on this note, which is the coolest thing about the millennial generation.
What?
That there is now sunscreen with glitter in it called unicorn snot.